All right, we have looked at introductions to the message. And now we're turning, you'll notice on the slide, to the organization of the message. How do you organize your message? You've chosen the Bible passage that you're going to focus on. You've chosen the theme, probably. You've seen what the big idea is, and you've done some of the research in the back, unless you're doing a topical message. I'll talk about that in a moment. Now, how do you organize your message? You may have an idea at this point of the introduction, but as I said at the end of last lesson, you know, sometimes your introduction will come when you're in the process of writing or putting your sermon together. Sometimes it'll come before that, that you go, hey, I know this theme, and this is how I want to introduce it and how I want to translate it. Wherever you do the introduction, you come up with the introduction. But the organization of the message is essential to how people receive it. And so how they listen, how they engage. And so organization is very important. In fact, I want to introduce you to a man who's he's a coach of preachers, basically. His name is Frank, and you're going to see a brief video by him as he talks about five mistakes preachers make. He's got a blog, and he does five of them. And the first one, you'll note, the thing he says that's most important for preachers is structure. So just spend a few moments, just a few minute video about Frank talking about how to be a person who organizes your message as well.
This is the most common mistake that preachers make, number one. The most common mistake that preachers make, number one, is what I call a lack of structure or weak structure. To illustrate this point about structure, I will tell you a story about my barber who acknowledged his call to ministry, and he is from the Baptist tradition. And in the Baptist tradition, when you acknowledge your call to ministry, you have to preach what's called a trial sermon. And you develop a sermon, and then you get up in front of the people and preach, and then assuming that they discern the Spirit of God in your life, then they'll give you a license on your way to ordination. So he said to me, while I'm cutting your hair, what could you tell me to help me most organize my sermon? Well, I said, this is what I will tell you. Structure, structure, structure. Most preachers are weak at structure. I said, organize your sermon like this. There's a situation. There's some complication of the situation. There then must be a resolution to the complication. And then you celebrate the resolution. That is situation, complication, resolution, celebration. That's great structure. It provides the listener a total experience. Most of us live by the experience of some situation in our lives. We have a complication of that situation. We want the gospel to give us insight to resolve the complication. And then we celebrate the good news of God's healing grace in our lives that resolves all difficulties and problems. And if you will practice this situation, complication, resolution, you'll have great structure. You'll be easy to listen to. And I say that people that have great structure have many friends traveling with them while they're preaching. Many friends will go with you. Remember, situation, complication, resolution, and celebration. Have good structure, and you'll have many friends while you're preaching.
Yeah, I introduced you to him just because I wanted you to see that he is somebody who says structure is important. The biggest mistake, he says, pastors make is they don't have appropriate structure. Now, we're not getting anything on the screen here. There we are. He says, I'm sorry, let me start this one over. Or we can take it from the video if that's okay.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay. Let me get after the video. All right.
Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now what I wanted you to see there is just somebody who's a coach of preachers saying the biggest mistake you can make is not have enough structure. In fact, if you just wander around, people are going to tune you out because they won't figure it out. In fact, I worked with a man for a while who was a pro at this, and I remember being out with somebody who said, I finally learned to appreciate him. And he was a preacher who wasn't very popular in his church, and in fact, there was a movement afoot to, you know, maybe ask him to leave. But the person said, you know, he said, I used to be a detective on a police force, and he said, you know, you'd get this clue, and then you'd get this clue, and then you'd get this clue, and then you'd get this clue, and you'd get this clue. And when you put them all together, you say, oh yeah, I've got a case. He said, that's how he preaches. That maybe worked for a former detective, but it doesn't work real well for most of us. And so there's got to be a system of organization that people will say, oh, I understand. Now, you'll notice the one he says to use, there's a situation, there's a complication of the situation, there's a resolution of the complication, and there's celebration of the resolution. Now, that is an organization that's very close to what we've talked about when we talked about how do you do a novel, you know? How do you do a story kind of sermon? How do you tell a story? That is that kind of information, and that kind of organization, and it will work well with narrative kind of story kind of messages. But it's not the most common ones. In fact, today we're going to cover the most common means of organizing your message. And I'm going to give you some examples, and then the next time we're going to move on to some of the less common ways of organizing messages, but ways that can still be powerfully effective. So the way to organize a topical sermon. Let's look at that for a moment. Oop, I went the wrong direction. A topical sermon, as we've seen, is one that chooses a topic and then, you know, develops. It's not developing this particular verse so much or this particular passage so much as it's introducing a topic. Now, here's a topic that we can give you from Psalm 82. God is speaking to his people in Psalm 82, and he says, how long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Now, that would be a tremendous introduction to a topical sermon on how to help the needy. And you could do a variety of kinds of organizations of a message on that. Here's one, and I'm indebted to Brian Chappell in his book, Christ-Centered Preaching, for this, when he says, here's a good organization for that. The history of the church caring for the poor. You could talk about the history of the church. In fact, where the church went in history, the poor were cared for. In fact, most hospitals that began, most orphanages that began, most social programs began because of the church. In fact, where I live, I live near Muskegon, Michigan, the major health system in Muskegon is Mercy Hospital, and it was begun by an order of the Roman Catholic Church because they were caring for the poor. They were caring for the needy. And then you might go on to the history in our nation, that our nation, if it's the United States, has a history of caring for the poor, of providing for people who are on that edge and over the edge. And you could maybe give statistics positively and negatively, maybe saying how that seems to be waning these days as we seem less concerned about the poor. And then a third would say the necessity of caring for the poor today. And here you could pull in all kinds of scripture that would say that this is God's will for us, that this is part of our heart, of God, that we, the God's people, become engaged with the poor. And you can make all kinds of applications about that. Now, that's a topical arrangement. You could find other arrangements for that. But that's just an example of taking a topic and making a structure for it that people can follow, that they can be part of. Now, here are some notes about the topical sermon outline. The topic is derived from the text. In other words, in many churches, you read the passage before you explain it. You would read that Psalm 82 passage, and that's where we got the topic. But you'll notice that the main points are not derived from the text. They don't come directly out of there. They're derived from our minds, our hearts, as we want to develop that. And the subpoints are developed from the text. Or here's another example of it that I found online. Three insights into winning the spiritual battles of life. We have three enemies, the devil, the world, the flesh, and you'll notice there's a passage listed for each behind them. We have two battle fronts, personal holiness, personal witness, and we have two weapons, the armor of God and the word of God. Now, you'll notice that's compiled by OnlineSermonForBusyPastors.com. And if you go to that website, you'll find all kinds of topical sermon outlines because that's one of the major ways that they use. This is a good way if you're preaching a topical sermon. However, you know, I said a little while ago that when we were developing you know, working on now developing the sermon, that for the most part, you should expect to be preaching things like expository sermons and organizing those. And so the topical sermon is a good sermon, as I said, and we've given examples of that earlier on when we were talking about the types of sermons. But here's a way to organize it. Just be aware of that. Now, there's another kind of organization that you can give, and that is what's called textual organization. In textual organization, the topic comes from the text, as it does in the topical message, but the main points come from the text as well. So when you're looking for the main points in your organization, they're drawn out of the passage that you're working with. And then the subpoints most often, come from outside the text in a textual organization sermon. We're going to get to expository in a moment. But this is how you organize a textual sermon that's focused on the text, but is not totally expository. It's very closely related to it, but it's not totally expository. So here's a passage. Well, let's look at an outline, a structure for this passage. John writes, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." Now, here's how you would organize that text, most likely, something similar to this. One, we should resist the lust of the flesh, those three things that John refers to. And then a textual organization would say, well, what is that anyway? And there's supporting material in the subpoints that are not taken out of the text. For instance, you could talk about materialism and the fact that, you know, our flesh wants certain things. Or you could talk about David's erosion of faith when he was somebody who became more concerned about sensuality and he began to multiply the number of wives that he had. And we should resist the lust of the eyes. And this is talking about sensuality in particular. And you can make all kinds of examples of that in our world today, wherever you are, if you haven't watched television at all. And you could use, this lust of the eyes damaged David's purity. And the lust of the eyes, when he was up on the rooftop of the palace, and he looked over and he saw Bathsheba bathing, and he lusted after her, and as a result called her. They committed adultery and murder of Uriah, etc., etc., etc. But that's a sub-point, but it's not directly derived from the text. And then we should resist the pride of life, and you could talk about arrogance there, and you could talk about how arrogance destroyed David's humility so that he kept this sin hidden for a full year until Nathan the prophet came in. And so this is an example, again, of a textual organization. The main points are derived from the text, or here's the definition. Textual sermon is one in which the main divisions are derived from a text consisting of a brief portion of Scripture. Each of these divisions are then used as a line of suggestion, and the text provides the theme for the sermon. In contrast with a topical sermon, we begin with a text, not a topic. Or here's another definition that I found online. Now, the textual sermon is similar to the expository sermon, but it is based on one abbreviated passage. In the textual sermon, the outline comes from the text itself. The textual sermon usually involves a shorter passage and a more detailed analysis. So those are the textual sermon and then the topical sermon outline. Now, how do you organize in an expository fashion? A third kind of organization that we're going to talk about today is what's called the expository outline or the expository organization. Now, we've looked at expository preaching, the fact that it is to expose what's in the Bible. Now, here are some of the notes about expository preaching. First of all, the main topic is taken from the text. That's the same as true for textual preaching. But here, the points are taken from the text. That's true in textual preaching. But the subpoints are also taken from the text. And so everything has to do with this particular passage of Scripture. And so as I'm bringing organization to my message, I want it to follow what the Bible says in this particular passage. Now, I'm going to just read a little bit. Here's a website I came across this week. called gotquestions.org, and I simply asked, what is expository preaching? And I was surprised to get an answer from them, and here's their answer. Expository preaching involves the exposition or comprehensive explanation of the scripture. That is, expository preaching presents the meaning and intent of a biblical text, providing commentary and examples to make the passage clear and understandable. The word exposition is related to the word expose. The expository preacher's goal is simply to expose the meaning of the Bible verse by verse. As a method, expository preaching differs from topical preaching and textual preaching. To prepare a topical sermon, the preacher starts with a topic and then finds a passage in the Bible that addresses that topic. For example, for the chosen topic of laziness, the preacher might refer to Proverbs 15:19, Proverbs 18:9, touch on Romans 12:11, and 2 Thessalonians 3:10. None of the passages is studied in depth. Instead, each is used to support a theme of laziness. In a textual sermon, the preacher uses the text as a springboard for discussing a particular point. For example, someone could use Isaiah 66, 7-13 to preach on motherhood. Although motherhood is only peripheral in that text, being merely an illustration of the true theme, that the restoration of Israel when Jesus comes, when the Messiah comes. So, again, that's expository preaching, saying, I want to expose what is in this passage. Now, again, I want to give you an example of what this looks like. And again, I'm indebted to a man named Brian Chappell in his book, Christ-Centered Preaching, for this example. This section of Romans chapter 8 is probably one of the most powerful that you could find in Scripture. And it's a wonderful basis for a sermon. So how would you do a sermon on this passage? Now, it's too long for me to put it on the screen for you, and so let me just quote from it. Point number one is, God's love is greater than sin. And point one is, my past sin. Here's verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? All right. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. And then it's greater than present sin. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. And so, first point is, you know, God's love is great. That's the theme of this passage. And it's shown in the sub-point, past sin. God's love is greater than past sin, and it's greater than present sin. And a second major theme in here is God's love is greater than circumstances. And all you got to do is look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? God is greater than all of these things. God's love is greater than our circumstances. Now, circumstances will challenge our sense of God's love sometimes. When you experience illness, financial downturn, whatever, you may say, where's God? As you know, as Philip Yancey showed, where's God when it hurts? But God's love, Paul is saying here, is greater than our circumstances, and it cannot undo God's love. Verse 37, knowing all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then a third point that comes out of this passage would be God's love is greater than Satan. Look at verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So first of all, it's greater than spiritual powers, but even greater than anything else in all creation. That's an expository sermon, an example. Now, bottom line, this is Brian Chappell again, for structure. It's got to be form. Faithful to the text, obvious from the text, related to the fallen condition of mankind and the situation that exists in the world today, and always moving toward a climax, usually which involves the love of God and the goodness he has in Jesus Christ. So those are our three ways, four ways, if we count the intro video, of organizing a text. We're going to continue this theme next time.